Pierce. I'm the producer of Ready Row USA podcast. We're here live at the U.S. Rowing Convention talking to a bunch of fun people, including Anita de France, who we all know and love and is our role model in rowing. But thanks for coming on and speaking with us tonight. I heard you yesterday briefly, but I'd like to hear more about your experiences.
Thank you very much for giving me this opportunity. I'm having a wonderful time because I have so many friends here who I haven't seen in a long time. Yesterday, I was at the boat club that gave me the opportunities that had changed my life at Vesper Boat Club, which is wonderful. I'm seeing the pictures up on the wall and all the history of that club, which won the eight oar shell gold medal in 1900, which was the first time that rowing was actually contested. It was on the program for Athens. But the venue they selected was such that it was blown off the water before it could be conducted. So it was on the program, so it's technically one of the original Olympic sports.
Amazing, yeah.
But the 1900 bow mm-hmm. of the boat is at Vesper.
Is that the one that's on the wall there?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
So cool.
Yeah. So it's fun to see that and see friends who I rode with, and our lives continue to be part of one another's lives, and to see people. I've had wonderful experiences with people telling me what I've done with them over the years.
Oh, I heard a lot of those. Oh, just because I said I went to your talk, and you know, they said, "Oh, well, she, you know, inspired me."
Oh, well, someone I was talking with, who is also a Vesper Tiger, I was teaching mm-hmm. him the song that most people don't know unless you were there in the late 70s, you wouldn't. And he said, "I have to tell you something. You presented a medal to me." I said, "Oh yeah, I love that." He said, "But you said, well done, Vesper."
Yeah.
And he looked at me and I said, "How did you know that?" "Of course I know. Well, remember when they're doing well." So that's what I like to say.
That's so cool. Well, yeah. Making those connections and overlapping, you know, and he'll go on.
And so, and the things that have changed in the sport, mm-hmm. Learning about that, learning what the issues are for athletes today to see how I can be helpful, especially for the women. It's so different because women now have a chance to stay in the sport longer than mm-hmm. they did in my era. But what does that do for them professionally or to them professionally? When you step out of your profession for 4 years, it's not so mm-hmm. bad. But when it's 8 or 12 years, then you come back in and everyone else has been doing it for 8 or 12 years and you haven't, that's a lot tougher.
Yeah, you can hear a lot of stories about women that have had to do that, especially.
Yes, and now out of college, the corporate world would have snapped them up mm-hmm. because they're looking for people who can work well together, and rowers, that is the definition for them.
Well, I took up sculling at the age of 57, or 56, maybe. And I just got, like, here I am doing a podcast about it. You know, it draws you in.
It's the magic of being free on the water.
Yes. So we have a question that we're asking everybody, mm-hmm. including Matthew Pinson, who is just on.
Matthew, yes.
I know.
Sir,
and so we're asking,
Sir Matthew,
I'm, you know, I have to remember that. We're asking people to describe the perfect stroke.
Well, the reason we keep doing it is we're working to get to that point. I'm not sure what it is, but I did my best every time to get the blade in exact properly, to drive it through and to get it released. So I'm still working on it.
I know, it's that pursuit of things. You can kind of glimpse it once in a while, right?
Oh, yeah. There have been times in boats where, boy, I mean, it's funny, I'll tell the story because he knows the author of the wonderful book, The Boys in the Boat.
Yes.
I had a chance to talk with him as we are sitting now. Sure. And I said, you know, one thing I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, that you're not a rower. And he said, no, I'm not. Why did you say that? I said, well, you got a lot of things that most people don't know about the sport. For example, you kind of told the world how much pain we go through. We don't talk about that because if we did, why would we do it?
Drive down the road to the club.
And you talked about swing, which is important, and that's essential. But the thing you didn't talk about is the feeling of the boat gets to speed and it kind of rises up, and you can hear or feel the bubbles running underneath
it. Oh, you know that sound? I have a little Pinehurst, and I'm a single sculler, you know. And when I get that sound, it's the boat is talking to me.
Exactly. Yeah. So the boat is up to speed, and it's going to go so much faster.
Yeah.
That feeling is just, exactly. Okay. Yeah. No one talked about that. I said, well, you're talking about the athletes of 36, different world.
We had, at the head of the Charles, I did some interviews with Judy Wellman and Jennifer Hopper, who are the daughter and granddaughter of Joe Rennes.
Yeah.
And that was just fascinating.
Oh, yeah.
Judy had taken, you know, gone into all these attics of people and her own.
And getting them to cooperate.
Yeah.
There is also a BS documentary called The Boys of 36. And the part of the book where he talks about how the stroke was really, really sick at the final days at the Olympic Games, and the coxswain's looking and says, I hope he's in there, but he's not communicating. Lenny Riefenstahl was a genius behind the camera. Unfortunately, she was doing it for the wrong side, but she was such a genius that she actually had the camera. Oh, so you can see that happening. You can see that happening.
We have that footage now.
Yes. So, I mean, I got chills when I saw it. So, PBS, The Boys of 36.
And I just interviewed Linda Murray yesterday. Mm-hmm. She did technical work on this new film. Do you know about Swing?
No.
It's a new independent film. Okay. It's now in editing, and it's coming out in the fall of 2020. But it's a fictional movie, but it's like one of those great... You know, it's good to have these for awareness and people about rowing.
Yeah.
People that don't know about rowing will come.
Yeah.
Maybe check it out.
Yeah, and as someone was saying yesterday, the boathouses are there, you go by it, but they seem mysterious here in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Can you go in? Of course you can.
Yeah.
I did.
So what do you think, I mean, I started when I was 56, but what do you think would connect more, like, especially master's women or women of color or, you know, people that aren't represented well in the rowing?
Well, to an extent, it's my fault for not doing more work to get more folks in, because as I always say, the boat doesn't care sitting in it.
No.
And
just,
certainly
just
blades don't. Exactly. So it's open to everyone.
Yeah.
And I'm really glad that now ocean rowing will be on the program of the Youth Olympic Games in Dakar, Senegal in 2022, which means that we can be on the way.
So it's actually
for that.
An official sport.
Yes.
Yes. Awesome.
For those games.
Yeah. Yes.
To me, that's the place of expansion. And for the years I was development chair of FISA, that was our focus, trying to get ocean rowing or sea rowing or whatever it's called. And I even, before I knew about it, back in 1980, was it 3 or 4, I did the Catalina to Marina Del Rey row, which is not, Catalina is not just 26 miles beyond the sea. Unfortunately, no, it was in an Alden, but it was a flat boat instead of the Jan Palchikov, who is an elite sculler, and I am not, as I say, I don't do that two-fisted rowing.
I'm sorry.
Because I have so much respect, because the skills for that. It's funny because we hit the wall at different times. I hit the wall earlier, so I was okay for the rest of it, and she didn't hit it till later, and it was...
Oh, you have a sense of adventure. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
We just had John Wick on last night, and he said he had done some, like, I don't know, 100-mile coastal row.
That's totally unnecessary.
Delaware, you know?
Totally unnecessary.
But he's so you know, electrified about this new direction.
Okay.
I think, you know, and especially for developing countries, you can take those kinds of boats in.
Well, and if you don't have rivers and lakes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you got all of this water
Absolutely.
All around.
Yeah, like Indonesia or, you know, some place like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. I'm so glad we caught you and you could have the time to sit.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Yeah.
I love this sport. It's given me so much. I'm working hard to give back what I've got.
You are doing a good job. I must say. You know, we also have Arshay Cooper on from time to time.
Good.
And I'll be one year award.
Yes. Yeah. Good guy. I'm so glad he exists in our world.
I know.
The story is wonderful.
Yes.
And he, with kids,
we both were speaking at the same place once, and he is just extraordinary able to reach out to kids.
Yeah, I actually kind of started the podcast because I had heard a live from the U.S. Rowing Convention last year when he was here. And I thought, let's get some better, you know, some better conversations going about.
Excellent.
Yeah, so we do a topic, you know, city youth rowing. We talked to Neil Bergenroth in Tulsa the other day. He's doing a STEM program.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then we have way out in L.A., we have L.A. Rose, which
yes,
I'm so
yes,
proud
I need to
of.
Yes, who's the person?
Well, Liz has been the president. And Liz Greenberg.
Okay. I wanted to connect with them at some point.
Yeah, well, I can. When we're off,
okay,
I can
good.
Give you the info.
All right, well, let's let you go. I know you have other people to talk to, but I really
appreciate this
being
opportunity,
on.
And thanks to the world of rowing.
Oh, it's your heart. Thanks. Yes. I don't know what it is about rowing. It's just, you know, it just.